I have a request this morning for a special prayer for Brother Matt as he graduates from high school. If you would bow with me, we will offer a prayer to God for Matt. Our Heavenly Father, we come to thee at this time on behalf of Brother Matt, a young man that we love as a good young man, but most of all because he is our brother in Christ. We're thankful, Father, that he has concluded his work through the first 12 years of his education, that he has been successful in that. Now, Father, as he enters into an exciting time, but also a dangerous time, as he goes to college, we pray, Father, that he will so manage his time that he can still be your servant, that he will not grow away from the church, but he will use the church to sustain him in the things that you would have him to do. So guide him, Father, as he goes through his education. We pray for success for Matt, not only in temporal things, but in his spiritual life. We pray that you would guide and protect him. In Jesus' name, amen. On just an average day in America, there will be 28 mailmen as they deliver mail bit by dog. There will be 1.5 billion cigarettes smoked on an average day. There will be 63,288 car crashes in one day, and 129 people will die. There will be 9,077 babies born. There will be 500 million cups of coffee consumed. $2 billion bills are in circulation. 1 million people are in the hospital in one day. 5,200 people will die. 1,070 of them will die of cancer, mostly from cigarette smoke. 2,740 kids will run away from home. At the snack bars in O'Hara International Airport, 5,479 hot dogs will be served, covered with 12 gallons of mustard and relish and 9 gallons of mustard and relish, I should say. 5,962 couples will get married. 2,986 will get divorced on an average day. Each of us will make six pounds of garbage. 679 million phone calls will be made. 176,810,950 eggs will be laid in one day. 41 million children are in school from the first through the eighth grades on an average day like this. Jesus will come. He will come and gather together the faithful, gather the church together, and take them back to the Father on just an average day like this. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. On a day like this, when there are those that say there is no God, there are those that worship the devil, there are those that murder not only those that are alive but the unborn, when there are those that say marriage isn't God ordained, isn't the way anymore, that's old fashioned, when there are those in the church that are not wholehearted in their effort, are lukewarm, are not truly converted, and put many things ahead of their service to the Lord, on a day like this, Jesus will come. But as in the days of Noah, people will be eating and drinking and being merry and say, all is peace, all is well. And as when the flood came and took those people away, so shall it be when Jesus comes on that last day. So we have verses in the scripture that warns us of this, as how we should be on our everyday living and the kind of life we should live when Jesus comes. 1 Thessalonians 5:2-4. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, or us, are not in darkness of that day that it should overtake us. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. They that lived in the time of Noah, they didn't have to drown. Noah preached to those people for 120 years of the coming flood. They were enlightened people. They were not in the dark. But they did not pay any attention to what he said. They went along in their merry, peaceful way. All is all right. So it says, shall it be when Jesus comes again. His coming is going to sneak upon people. And when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh upon them. That's what the scripture says. Now, chances are that we won't be alive when Jesus comes. Could be we will, but chances are we won't. You know, God doesn't measure time as we measure. He says a 1,000 years with him is one day. Where it says with us, our 70 years is the average life of man. So chances are, when Jesus comes, we will be in our grave. But whether alive or dead, we need to prepare for Jesus' coming. Peter says in 2 Peter 1:10, when we consider this, to be diligent in our Christian life to make our calling and election sure. How wonderful it is to be sure of something, have no doubt. When we heard the gospel, most of us here had heard it, and we answered that call, that gospel call. We obeyed it, and we were called into the service of God. And by a proper Christian life, as we grew in our Christian life, we added to our faith such thing as says virtue and knowledge and godliness and brother kindness and love. We are elected or chosen of God as one of His own. No doubt about that. We're one of His own. But it's up to us to make our relationship permanent with God. It's not an automatic thing. We are not in the dark. We are not unknown about what it takes to make our calling and election sure. We don't need to be surprised by the coming when Jesus comes and find us unprepared. We don't need to be that way because we know what to do. We will have no excuse, just like the people of Noah's time, there will be no excuse when Jesus comes if we are unprepared. I've always thought, as I read from the Scripture, that, and the more I read, the more I feel this way, that it's God's intention that we as Christians, our lives should be our primary source of our joy and contentment in our lives. Seems to me like if we've made our calling and election sure, that we should feel this way. That no matter where death comes, whether it comes or not, and it will, we know that it will, or whether Christ comes first, we don't need to live in fear. I feel like it is so easy to miss out on this. That instead of putting ourselves into the Christian life and living it, and make it a joy and a contentment and a peaceful thing, we make it a burden to us. I have to do this and I have to do that. I think we really miss out on many things that way. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into grace, wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In the same book, verses 15 and 13, chapter 15, verse 13, for the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We will never have joy and contentment in our life unless we truly know God and Christ. Know them personally in our life. If we just see them all as a far-off something, a being, and don't feel that closeness, well, I don't think we'll ever have that joy and peace. In 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now this kind of assurance, if we can feel this way, doesn't come by a hit and miss religion or hit and miss service. It don't come that way. But by a full commitment to Christ and to the church. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. I think without faith it's possible to go to church, to do many of the things that we should do. I think we can do that without true faith. So we need to be truly committed and have this faith that the promises God has made are so, that He will deliver these to us. Because it says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is God, and that He is a rewarder, that He can fulfill the promises He has made. He will reward the righteous of them that diligently seek Him. This is why Peter said, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Contrary to what is taught in very prevalent teaching today, in the world. There's something that we've got to do to save ourselves. It's not a part-time thing, it's a full-time life commitment. And we've got to do it, each one of us. We can't sit back and let someone else do it for us. I have this feeling. I've looked at myself many times and seen this. You know, if we follow the scripture as it is written, we examine ourselves. It says whether you be in the faith. If we prove our own self, it says, know ye not that your own self, how that Jesus Christ in you, except you be reprobate. If we do what the scripture tells us, we've got to reshape our life to fit the scripture. I don't think this is always done. I think many times we reshape the scripture to fit our life. And it won't work. It don't work. Have you ever thought how it would be as we go through our life and finally we stand at the judgment bar and say, I wonder if I'll make it. I wish I'd have done this. I wish I'd have done that. We need to examine ourselves. And we need to fix the things that are lacking in our life. And then when we do that, we can have this joy, this peace, this fulfillment of being a true Christian of the Lord. I've always thought it was so important, and I think sometimes this is not done, to have a successful Christian life. It's so important to start out right. If we're to enjoy our Christian life as a servant, doing God's will and not our own, is so important that when we are baptized into the church, into the family of God, that we're truly converted to it. Truly converted. I need Jesus as my Savior. I'm lost without Him. I need to be washed by His redeeming blood. And I think that when we do this, we got to realize we're not the same person. We can't go the same direction. We've got to change things. And it's an everlasting thing. It goes all through our lives. But we need to feel this purging of the sins from us. To start out clean. Truly converted. That we are no longer our own. We have given ourselves to Jesus. Peter tells us that there are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, 2 Peter 1:4. This life can be so good, so much fun, but it can be very cruel too. And of course we all experience that because we've lived it. We live here. Many things happen that we don't count on, unexpected things. People disappoint us, promises are broken that are made. And as long as we're in this temporal nature, in this physical realm, these things are going to happen. But Peter says that we as Christians who have escaped the corruption of the world are partakers of the divine nature. We have been given great and precious promises, promises that will not be broken, that are eternal and lasting. So while living here in this world that is so uncertain from day to day, many times disappointing, we who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ who through our faithful life have made our calling and election sure through a faithful service, according to what God has promised us about the new heavens and the new earth. He says, wherein dwelleth only righteousness, no sin is there, just righteousness. How we should take joy from that, and peace and hope. He says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, with spot, without spot, or blameless. Let's don't be as the people were in the days of Noah, who did not heed the warning of Noah about the coming flood. When it did come, they weren't ready. When the door was shut on the ark, I bet they beat upon that ark with their fists, "Let me in, let me in, let me in." Of course, they all drowned. It was just too late. The things that should have been done weren't done. It was too late. But for us as Christians, in our Christian life, this life of joy and peace and comfort, if we have made our calling and election sure, we will be ready when Jesus comes. And them heaven gates will be thrown open wide for us. We will have nothing but joy and peace and hope forever. So just on an average day, when the world as a whole is paying no attention at all, it's what the Scripture has taught, but they're doing their own thing in their own way, Jesus is coming. So this, us who are this here this morning, let's watch for that. Watch for Jesus. And when he calls our name, we can answer. Here am I. He will take us home to the Father forever and ever. And then we will really know, after we see Jesus as he is, seen him face to face, what real joy and contentment is. Let's make our calling and election sure this morning. I hope my thoughts have been interesting to you. I always worry what a waste of time to not have something edifying for us all. So I hope I've done that this morning. If you are here and not a Christian this morning, outside of the church, what a scary place to be in. How scary that is. Because you will face Jesus too. Every knee will bow. Every name will confess. So we need to be right with God and Jesus. We need to be right with them. So if you're outside the Christ, or if you are in the church and have done something you shouldn't have done, and ask for help for that, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song this morning.